Welcome to the One Small Change. And I'm thrilled that you're here on this journey of exploration and transformation. And I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring almost 30 years of entrepreneurial experience and a passion for discovering growth through the power of seemingly small change. And I want to thank you for joining me for this exploration and hope you get some inspiration. And this week, I'm going to do something a little bit special. I'm going to do what I'm calling the special quarterly clarity check-in. And the reason for that is because, at the end of each quarter, the beginning of each new quarter, I really take some time to think about what my goals are, why I'm doing it, am I on track? And I thought, I would be remiss if I didn't share this with you. So this is the first time I'm doing this. And I have some ideas, so I hope you'll find them helpful and you'll let me know. So, this is meant to energize you and to inspire you, but I want to also make sure that it reinforces that for action takers only. This is clarity that leads to implementation, that leads to action. One of my favorite sayings that I came up with was, it doesn't matter how fast you're going if you're not going in the right direction. And so the real thing is, it's not just about taking action, but making sure you're going in the right direction. So you're doing the things that are going to build your business, that are going to speed up your momentum, that are going to help you get where you want to get faster. And part of that is, it's going to help you to help the people that you want to impact. And I think that's what we're all in business for. So I want to start with two clarity questions. And you don't have to just ask these questions, at the beginning or the end of a quarter. You can ask these questions about anything because they're that good. Okay. So the first question is, what's working well and why? So before I actually go into question, I want to go into a little bit about how we as humans tend to act. So we do something, and typically we have one of two actions. One action is, oh, I could have done better. I should have done more, right? And I can't help it. I still have that. And the idea is, if you acknowledge that you're going to have it, then at least get out of it fast so that you're not stuck in that place for a long time. The other thing is, when we have good results, we tend to say to ourselves, well, what if I had, if this was good, what if I had done more? Right? We are not taught to celebrate our successes. So the question of what's working well is really twofold. One is for you to see what is going well and to celebrate that. I did the things that I said I was going to do. I went to the networking meetings. I talked to X number of people. I finished the course that I said I was going to do without the other things that we put on there. I went to the networking, but I didn't stay. I finished the course, but it's not as good as I want it to be. Okay. So forget that part. Just, this is what I did. This is what I accomplished. This is what I should feel good about. And just take a minute and really celebrate yourself for that. And I know that you don't want to, but you can do this. All right. The second part of that is why. Why is it working so well? And I think we don't get into that. So everything we do kind of has a process. It typically is not one thing by itself. So, say for instance, you went networking and it went really well because of what? Well, first, it reminds me of the story when, my son got a zero, got a bad mark in school, got a zero. And I said to the teacher, what? I don't understand this. And she goes, he never turns his homework in. I said, but he does it. And she goes, but he never turns it in. And I said to him, why don't you turn it in? And he said, because I know you've been working on it. And he said, because I didn't finish it. And I said, well, why didn't you finish it? You put in enough time. He said, because I didn't have enough time to copy the whole assignment, so I didn't do the whole assignment, so I didn't turn it in. So what seemed like it was the initial problem of him just simply turning his homework in actually started at the beginning when he wasn't getting the whole homework assignment to begin with. So the solution was not making sure his homework was in the bag. It might be once we solve the first problem and see how that impacts it. But the first problem was, how was he going to get his whole homework assignment? And it turned out that one of the ways for him to do that was to have the phone number of somebody in his class. I mean, he was writing it down, but he wasn't getting it finished, right? The whole thing. And checking, having a homework buddy that he could check with, and they made sure that they had all the details for their homework. Once that was done, then we could address whether he was actually doing it, finishing it, putting it in the bag, getting it to school, and then turning it in. And I have to thank the teacher for bringing this up to me because it was the first time that I really was like, oh my God, it's not the thing that you think it is always. Start at the beginning and make sure all the other pieces. So why is it working well? If in fact you spoke with a client and they signed up, what was it that made that happen? Had they gone to two workshops? Had they talked to you previously? Were they in a certain situation of their life? Were you able to really empathize with them? What was it that made it work so you can do it again and again, right? And increase your results. So the question is, what's working well and why? And the why is, let's take a look at the process and see what it is that you're doing and all the pieces that are in place so that you can tweak those things as you're going along. Which brings us to the next thing. What are you solving for? And what would that ideally look like? So, I guess I kind of jumped ahead a little bit. So, what are you solving for and what would it look like? So, in the case of my son, it was like, I want him to have a way to get his homework into school without, it always being chaos and that kind of thing. So what am I solving for? I'm solving for all the things that are keeping him from doing that and putting a system together that he can do. All right. So you may be helping your clients, but if it's something that they can't do on a regular basis, you haven't really solved for it, right? Because part of what we're tuning into here is our unique strengths. And when you're working with clients, you're looking for their unique strengths to help them as well. So what are you solving for? I remember one time someone came and I was getting people to my landing page, but they were not signing up for my workshop. So one person said, it's because your landing page has got this problem. And the other person said, no, people are clicking on the sign up button, but they're not going through. So who was right? Turned out they were both right because what I was solving for was to get people all the way through the process again. It turned out that when I did what the marketing person said and moved the sign up button closer to the top of the page, right? More people clicked on it. But there was also something that was going on behind the scenes that was keeping people from being able to sign up, that there was some confusion. So what are you solving for and what would it ideally look like? And one of the parts about how it ideally looks is that's where your vision and your purpose comes in, right? And you want to be big picture on this. I want to be able to help people move from here to here, and I want to be able to help a lot of people do that. I want to be able to connect with a certain population that doesn't think that there's help out there. Part of the problem that we all have to solve for in attracting clients to us is, what is it that keeps them from knowing that there is a problem that you can solve? All right. So it could be several things. It could be an education problem. It could be that they're not in the right situation to make it important for them. And so when we end, we'll talk about when you're doing something you want to do, take a look at, you want to do the right thing for the right reason, the right way, at the right time, and then it's right for you when you're putting together this plan for yourself. And when you're doing it with your clients, the right for you becomes the right for them. Okay. So that's the first thing that I want to talk about. And I think that we don't take the time to pause. I'm not saying stop, I'm saying pause and take a look at what it is that we need to do and spend some time with ourselves. So I want to expand a little bit on the 5 R's because I think it's so important. One of the reasons a lot of solutions don't work for you is because one of those R's is not right. So the first R is you're doing the right thing. Okay. So someone comes up and says, you should run. Oh, I'll just tell you a story because it's easier. Someone said, I should participate in a 3-day summit and be a gift in the gift box. I don't know if you've ever gotten one of those gift boxes. So that was the thing. Okay. I couldn't afford to pay to be on the stage because it cost too much. And I thought this would be a good thing. So I was gonna be in the gift box. So you do the right thing for the right reason. The right reason was I wanted to get in front of this huge audience that this person had. And I felt like that was a way to get in front of thousands of people, right? So the right thing for the right reason at the right time. That was kind of where things fell apart, the right way, right? The right way was what I could, at that time I said what I could afford. So when I did it, I was like very careful about what I put into the box. I didn't want a potato chip thing because who makes business, decisions when you're going to your refrigerator eating potato chips? So I like the idea of the magnet because we keep magnets forever. So, but that wasn't it. So I decided on a little round thing that had my name and, my name and the website. And it was a cloth and a sponge, a cloth that you could clean your glasses and a sponge that you could clean the computer with. And I was like, yes. We will keep this on our desk forever. People will see this forever. This is like a wonderful thing. Okay, so I had to pay to have it produced. I had to pay to participate and get it shipped and stuff like that. So the bottom line is, at a time when, I couldn't afford to be on the stage, I spent $2,000 to be a gift in a gift box. And for that, what I got is a 1 minute kind of like, yes, and now we're opening up this gift and, blah, 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 I did not get one call from that. I hope this makes you feel really good about if you're taking a 3-month course or for $2,000. I got a minute. And I got distributed to about 700 people and the people that were listening. All right. So I did, I knew I needed to do something to get in front of a lot of people. So that was the right thing. But being in that box was not the right thing, partially because I did not have enough to do to buy a place so I could follow up with people or actually get people's information. So I really did not do it the right way. And it probably was not the right thing for me, right? Because people, when they get to see me, right? When they get to talk to me, I have a much better chance of connecting with them. When you read my print or you see a little ad, that doesn't do it. I think that most of you have been places where you've had somebody, you've read an ad and it's like, this is the best thing ever. And you go, yeah, didn't it? Been there, done that. Okay. So that was not the right thing for me to reach the people that I wanted to. It was not the right time. It would have been the right time if I had done that and I could have afforded a speaking spot, right? And it would have been a much better process. So I want you to always say to yourself, after you've decided what you ideally want it to be, and you're looking at what you're solving for, and you're coming up with a solution, to ask yourself those questions. Is it the right thing at the right time? And is it right for me? All right. So in this clarification, when I do this every quarter, I probably will share with you some of my embarrassing stories. I mean, I will give you another one. I was in a collaboration book. I had a year to write my chapter. I decided that I wanted this to be my lasting work. And so, 1 month before the book was out, we had to submit it. I had four sentences and I was in a panic. And so the reason I was doing it is because somebody told me it was the right thing to do, to be with speakers. And I think it can be the right thing, but at that time, it was not the right thing for me. And so, the good news was one of the things that I discovered is I am not a writer, I am a speaker. And so I eventually came up with the idea that I would just record my chapter and have somebody transcribe it because it was a really long time ago. But because I got it, so late in the process, it came out in the book and it looked horrible because there was a chart and a worksheet and it just looked hard. I mean, I was so embarrassed. Again, something that I paid, I think I paid like $3,000 and I got 3,000 books. This is when you actually got the books themselves. It wasn't like the books on demand. And to this day, I have 2,990 probably of these books that are holding up my printer. And the only thing that I actually ever did with that book was at one time I was giving a talk and I said, I've got my book and my chapters in here, and I want you to know that you don't have to be perfect to do something. And it was far from perfect. All right. Again, it was the wrong thing to do because I'm not a writer. It was the wrong time to do it. I had nobody that I was potentially going to sell these, 3,000 books to. Did I learn something from both of these experiences? Absolutely. Absolutely. And part of what I learned is it right for me? Now, just to show you that there is hope in the world, I am now in the process of writing another book. And the way that we're doing it is we are meeting once a week, my partner and I. We are having conversations. We've got an outline. And every week we talk for about a half an hour on a particular subject that's on the outline, but it is in a talking form. It is conversational, and that's why it's right for me. And it works. So I want you to be able to kind of use this to be able to not only do a quarterly check-in with yourself, but to do check-ins more often, because the more often you check in, the more you can stay on track with what you're doing. And one of the reasons for that is we kind of give ourselves deadlines. We have that tendency to, speed up to get things finished. So the more deadlines you give yourself, the more you will get accomplished. So if you decide that not only are you going to do a quarterly check-in, but you're going to do a monthly check-in, you're going to do a weekly check-in, and you ask yourself these questions, you're going to find that you're going to get a lot more done because you can tweak as you go along. And we like to win. So we like to get things done by the deadline. As human beings, we are pretty predictable when it comes to that kind of thing. And so I think, just that, not only having a quarterly check-in, but also making sure that you are looking at what you're doing. So the one thing I haven't said is that you have to, at some point, know what your long-term plan is. And when you've talked to me or been to one of my workshops, I talk about dead reckoning. Some people call it your North Star. Dead reckoning is one of my favorite terms. I hate how it sounds, but I love the concept. And it comes from sailing, from when there was no electronics and stuff to be able to navigate, that you could pick a place on the shore, on the horizon, because when you're sailing, you've got the currents and you've got the winds. And so you're also always self-correcting. You're always tacking in. I forgot that there's another sailing term. To stay on course. And so when you do these check-ins with yourself, that's what you're doing. You're starting with the idea that this is where I'm trying to get, whether it is, this is the first step in the journey, or whether it is, this is what I'm going to be celebrated for at my 100th birthday. So without getting too philosophical, I have to say we are at a time right now when it is more important than ever to really know what your North Star, what your dead reckoning is, so that regardless what things are going on, good, bad, the good, the bad, the ugly, you can make sure that you're staying on track, that you're staying in your values, that you're staying in your purpose, and that you're not being sidetracked. And sidetrack doesn't mean that you're not participating in things. It means that you're doing it in a way that is a reflection of your values, that you're taking the steps that are going to get you the actions and the outcomes with the values that you think are important. So that's my philosophical detour. But I think it's really important that you do that. All right. So the other thing that's really important to realize is that you don't need to be fixed, you need to be found. So if you are at the point of your business where you have already invested in yourself, you've taken some high ticket courses, and in my case, and it may be true of you too, you did not get the outcomes that you expected. If you have had clients and the clients are really happy with what they get when they work with you do not have a delivery problem. Okay? You have a client attraction problem. And so there are a couple of things that I just want to remind you of as you're going forward to make sure that you check in your check-in. So my story is that in 2020, I lost my business because of COVID. It was like watching the Titanic sink. I was in the hospital for something totally different. I was in there for 5 days. When I came out, I had lost all my businesses. I was coaching women executives of nonprofits, and they did not have the funds to pay their employees, so they couldn't pay me either, which I totally understood. But, to my dismay, I did not have a well-working, a well-oiled business. I had a junk drawer, things that I had collected for decades with no particular focus. And so I thought, oh my God, I have got to get clients. I've got to get clients really fast. What am I going to do? And that started my journey to where I am now, to the Be Found framework. And one of the things that I realized was that was a mission for myself was if I have to rebuild my business again, I want it to be something that I like. I want it to be something that I was going to have fun with. I wanted it to be not cookie cutter, but something that clients came to me easily. Because even though I've had sales jobs before and I'm pretty good at it, I don't really like it. But if you don't make a sale, you don't make money and you don't have a business. Right? So finding a way that you can do that in a sustainable way is the only way that you're going to be able to sustain your business. And I have to tell you, it is wonderful when you talk to people and, before you're finished, doing, at the end of my workshop, I do a call. And the call is basically has, it's not a sales call, it has three purposes. One, to help you identify what makes you unique so that you can use them more. Two, identify the gaps in your client attraction process. And more importantly, to see where you're leaving money on the table. Because if you don't know that you have a special quality that is particularly enticing to a particular client, you've never gone after that before. And you probably have those people, know those people already. And they're just waiting to work with you, but you didn't know that, so they didn't know that. So, you know, but as I'm going through that call, it's really wonderful to have people say, you know, at the end when I say, okay, this is not a sales call. This is, you know, if you'd like to book a call with me, we can do that. Or if you have a couple minutes more, let's do it now. That they go, oh, let's do it now. I've got a couple minutes. You know, or as you're going through this, they say, you know, how much does it cost from, you know, if we were to work together, how much would that cost? Right? Because they've self-selected. You've met their needs and they're like, I need you. I want you. You are found. So after several years, I finally came up with the Be Found framework. And it is, for me, it is, you know, it is so exciting. And this is one of the things that I do for people is I help them be able to come up with their framework that they already have, but clarify it so that they can use it better. So my question would be, do you have that? So just so that you know, part of the things that I think you need to do to be found is you need to bravely step into who you are. You need to own it, right? Because E, that's what's going to explode what's working for you. All right. So the found part is focus on your strengths. When you do that, it increases your energy. It makes you excited. You're, you know, excited to talk about what you do, right? You need to do outreach. Yes, we would love it to be the person that sits there and people just, you know, flock to us, you know, but let's be real. You have to do outreach in some form. And so when you're doing outreach and you know what your strength is, then you're fishing in the right pond. You know, if you are selling air conditioners, you don't want to be networking in the Arctic. Then you need to understand what your client is going through, understand their journey. I mean, when you do that, you give them permission. So I said, I'm a sucker for somebody who goes, it's not your fault. These are the reasons that you are in this situation that you didn't even know you were aware of. You know, like I, it's like, oh, thank God, it's not my fault. I love that. But the other thing is to identify and say, I know it's hard to make a call. I've been there. But this is, you know, when I made a call, a free call, and it's true, I took a high ticket course. I didn't know who my ideal client was. I went on a free call, 30-minute call, and the person said, what situation is your client in? And that clarified it for me, right? So you have to be able to understand what's going on in your client's life so that they say, you know, you empathize, you understand me, you get it. So you have to understand their journey. And you have to nurture your relationships. And not just your clients, but the people you meet, because entrepreneurship is a really lonely thing. And, you know, aside from our business, we need our relationships to help us grow. And probably the piece that I like the most is the D stands for delight, deliver, and delight. And so part of the way that you may do outreach is in ways that delight you and also delight your potential clients. And so that's one reason that I really like doing the podcast. That's one reason I like doing the call after my workshop because I feel like I can delight you. You may not sign up to work with me, but you're going to be delighted and find out something that you can use. So, all right. So, I'm going to tie this up. I want you to remember that to use the questions that I gave you and also the five R's, the right thing, the right reason, the right time, the right way, and it's right for you. But here's what I want you to do, because this is for people who want to take action. I want you to take some action. So the first thing I want you to do is to book a call with me, and we can go over those three things, right? You don't need to, you don't need to wait to do that. The second thing I want you to do is make sure that you sign up for either my course or come to a workshop, right? And the last thing I want you to do is I want you to put time on your calendar to actually take out your calendar and mark out times when you can do a clarity check-in with yourself, whether that's once a week, whether it is, the clarity part. I call it clarity because we automatically do the planning, right? But without the clarity, you're going to be going fast in the wrong direction, right? So I want you to take out your calendar. I want you to make sure that you make time for yourself so that you can stay on course, so that you've got your North Star, so that you've got your dead reckoning, and you can increase your momentum that way. So I will say this. Remember, you don't need to be fixed. You just need to be found. And you don't have to do it alone, which is the part that's so exciting for me. So that's it for this. I hope that you enjoyed this, and I hope that it's different. The other thing I'll say as we go is please stay curious. It takes courage to do something different, and this is something different. But if you stay curious, you will be open to so many more possibilities. And until the next time, I'm Yvonne McCoy. Thank you for joining me for the One Small Change.